Lucky I could say his first name.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Everyone sit back and enjoy. Let's start with the intro and let's get the show on the road. It's the Rad Reality Show, and this is Ron Rad.
Tonight we talk Amazing Race. If you guys have a question, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Welcome, Amazing Race fans. This is the Rad Reality Show Network. I'm Cherry Garcia, and I thank you so much for joining us tonight, which is Sunday, October 4th, 2015. We're about to start the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show with host Louis Stravato from Season 16 of the Amazing Race, and he's invited an incredible special guest to join him tonight. We have the winner of Season 7, Eugenia Agu, calling in to talk about the latest episode, and then later in the show, he's got a new project that he's just getting ready to launch, and that's really exciting. So once we've completed our recap, we're going to talk about what Eugenia has coming up and let him introduce it to our listeners first. So those listening to this show will be some of the first to hear about this, so I'm really excited that our listeners are going to be early on in hearing Eugenia's new project, and we'll get to hear about all of that at the very end of the show, so stay with us after our recap. And I want to remind everybody also that you are invited to call in and chat with Louie and Eugenia during the show by calling 1-347-237-5506. Once you're on our switchboard, please press the number 1 key when you're ready to join us on air. Otherwise, we think you're just listening to our show. Myself and Paul from Minnesota will be your co-hosts tonight. So before we get too busy, we're going to say a quick hi to Paul up in Minnesota, see how he's doing, and then we'll bring up our host Louie and get this party started. Paul, what's going on up in Minnesota land?
Oh, it's a sad, sad couple of days sports-wise in Minnesota.
Oh, not as happy as last Sunday.
I know. Hi, everyone. Our Minnesota Gophers opened their Big Ten season by getting trounced at Northwestern. Minnesota Twins lost when they had a chance to make a wild card spot. And today, the Minnesota Lynx played their first game of the WNBA Finals at home, and we lost. And I'm watching, hopefully, the Vikings come back. They're playing in Denver right now, and they're down by 3. So if I go yippee or oh, shit, you know why.
Well, all I can say is that Cardinals won the division, and our St. Louis Blues beat the Blackhawks in our preseason game, so our St. Louis teams are doing a little better. So let's play his intro and get our host up here with us. I'm very sorry you're having a bad weekend, Paul.
But that's all right.
This song always brings people's spirits up, and so does our host. So let's bring him up here with us. Here we go. Welcome, Louie. How are you?
I am doing amazing. What's going on, guys?
I just want to let you know.
How is everybody doing?
Wonderful. And I want to let you know that your guest is already on our switchboard.
Oh, nice. Nice. Beautiful. It'll be a pleasure to talk to him. That's really cool. So, how was everybody's weekend? Paul, cry me a river. Anyways, my Cowboys are playing the Patriots next week. Well, without Des Bryant, I'm a mess. They play well tonight.
Hey, speaking of crying me a river, I was curious. You getting much rain up there your way, or is
we
it not?
We did we. Yesterday, nothing crazy, but today it was supposed to rain, and it ended up being an absolutely gorgeous fall day. Sun was out. It was in the low 60s, but it was gorgeous. I'm a hot weather man, but it was a beautiful day today. You know, no rain, it was nice. So it was a beautiful Sunday. And this week's supposed to be in the upper 60s all week, so looking forward to that. But we didn't get much of the hurricane at all. Nothing. A little bit of wind. It was a little windy last night, but nothing crazy. So.
Well, that's good. You're not getting it.
Yeah, but last night, those who follow me on Facebook, I boxed at it's an exhibition boxing match I did. At my gym in Bristol, Rhode Island, Icon Boxing Club, it's my friend's gym. We raised money for breast cancer awareness. One of the boxers at the end of the night, his mom is fighting it. And we had a huge fundraiser, and it went really well. And I was like a last-minute fill-in fight, so thankfully I'm physically fit. But at age 52... I fought 3 2-minute rounds against this kid who's, I'm 5'10", he's about 6 foot, he's 250, I'm 200, but he is 20 years old, he was 20 and I'm 52, and it was a brawl. The video will be up on Facebook probably tonight, the fight, because my sister recorded it for me. And so I'm excited about it, and so everybody can see, you know, what that you're never too old to be physically fit. And, you know, people who give up on life and just know that there's hope out there, is that you can do these things. Aging is for idiots. You know, it's for people who don't know any better. Let me put it that way. Let me be more politically correct. Because I say how it is, and that's who I am. So, but aging
is
for people.
And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes, it is. And so we had a really, really, really good showing of people, and it was great fights all night long. And my fight was pretty much called the fight of the night, and I'm really pumped about that. So, it was a lot of fun. So,
wow.
People think I'm crazy, and maybe I am a little bit, but you have to be a little bit, I think. I was a cop for 26 years, so. But anyway.
Well, you saw what picture I used for the promo.
I did. Yes. Look, thank you. I'm excited about Uchenna. He's on the other end. Agu, I believe, is it pronounced? How you pronounce the last name?
Well,
I'm
going to have to make sure. I hope I didn't mispronounce
the last
name.
No, he'll correct. Us. I'm guessing that's the correct saying of it. But I'm excited because he was the winner of season 7. That was how long ago was that? Mine was 16, and that was 2010, and it's 2 a season. All right. So we're going back. Maybe 5 years before mine. So what? Maybe 2005.
In that, I think. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting, and I remember his season specifically.
It's pretty exciting.
The wife at the time,
he had Robin
the
Amber
shaving his head. Robin Amber, right? Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Very. Yeah.
Very exciting season.
Yeah. But
so you ready to bring
him up? Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, let's do this. Let's introduce him and bring him up. We have
Uchenna
with us. How are you, Uchenna? And please
tell me
if I mispronounced your last name.
No, you didn't. You can hear me, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right, great. No, you did not mispronounce my name. I may sound a little nasally. This is now out of hay fever season or whatever, allergy season here in Texas.
Exactly.
In Houston. And I spent the weekend in Galveston, and they crushed me down there. So I'm a little nasally, but I am really, really excited to be here with y'all today. You were right. It was season 7 in 05.
Ah, so, good. I've always been good with math, Jenna. So I figured I'd
tell you,
all right.
Man. Season 27 is a whole nother ball of wax, man.
Right?
And it's really neat to see the teams and watch them do the stuff. It's really interesting because I kept thinking, golly, season 7. That was back when we were going both ways uphill in the snow. When it was really hard. Of course, everyone says that, right? but I tell you, The Amazing Race still jazzes me. In fact, as I've been watching this season, what resonates with me is how much fun I had, and I know exactly what they're going through when they get to, let's just say they get to the mat and realize that they are out. Or realize that they're still in. Excuse my cough, guys. But
I don't worry about it.
Yeah, so I just kind of catch up with you guys. When you were talking about, I love the Louie coming on when you come on. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And the fact that you did a couple of rounds in the boxing rink, that's commendable, man. We're about the same age, and I've been doing some physical fitness, extensive physical fitness stuff myself. In fact, I'm in better shape now than I was 10 years ago going into the race.
I agree.
So,
the same thing.
And what's funny is people don't realize that you don't have to be in super good shape to do the race. You have to have more mental strength than anything,
Absolutely.
I don't know if you guys want to talk about this season. I got this new project that I'm anxious to share with y'all.
We're excited to hear about it.
We'll talk about that toward the end, but at the end of the day, it's designed to serve your fans. and then designed to serve fans of reality TV. So it's awesome. And it's taken a long time to come to it.
You know, Chet, like when we get to your part of it, when we talk about it, I do have something that, because I get it often, people coming up to me and asking me what they should do. So it's kind of interesting that you're doing that. It's really cool. I like it. I love the idea. As far as jumping on that mat and knowing you're first during a leg, like I haven't missed a season of watching it on it, but since the beginning, but we jumped on that mat in Germany and we knew we were first. It was the coolest thing ever. It was like, you know, winning a leg was like insane. Now, never mind. I mean, that's incredible and commendable. And God bless you. So, I mean, now you said you're in Houston. Do you live in Houston?
Yeah, I live in Houston. Joyce lives in Los Angeles. Joyce lives in Los Angeles, my partner, when I'm on. And Houston is just an amazing city. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, you become a thrill seeker. You know, you live to travel once you've done the Amazing Race. So being in Houston, which is in the middle of the country, really gives you a perspective on being able to do those things that you want to do. And get around. I can get to Cabo, I'll get to LA at about the same time I get to New York, and then when I'm gonna leave the country, we got a good international airport here. And Houston works for me.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
No, sir.
Oh,
I do enjoy the Cowboys, but I'm what they call a Rolling Stone. I lay my hat is my home, and I'm a Houston Texans fan. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, that's commendable.
Absolutely.
Number two
is Seattle.
I've been a Cowboys fan since I was a child, but I being from New England, second is the Patriots to me. So
when I was a kid, the best thing about the Dallas Cowboys was their cheerleaders. That was about it.
Tony Dorsett. I still have the T-shirt.
Oh my goodness! I'm
a huge Tony Dorsett fan.
Okay, and that makes sense.
I gotta agree. I did love the cheerleaders. I even love them more now. They're beautiful.
Yeah, well, at that time they were doing those posters. You know, Nike was doing.
I had one.
Yeah, so you got Farrah Fawcett. You had a Dallas Cowboys poster. You know.
I watched the reality show.
Hey, there you go.
That shut everybody up. The Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders has their own reality show.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know that.
I never watched it, but I do know that.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's on the Nashville channel. Yeah.
Oh.
And,
on the country station. On the country station, yeah.
Yes.
The country channel,
and, shows them each year as they bring on the new cheerleaders and who's getting brought in and who's getting cut. And so they show it each year as they introduce the new cheerleaders into the group. And you get to see the entire process as the new cheerleaders try out and go through the process.
See, that's a reality show
in
itself, you know?
Yeah, it is.
It's been on for 10 seasons now are better.
Yeah, it's been on a while. Right. Hey, Uchenna, being back, all right, 2005, 10 years later, okay?
Right.
You being somebody who won the show, okay? The show has gotten easier, or do you think, I mean, like, I did it 5 years ago, and I felt it was just as much mentally draining as physically draining. When I did it, power lifter at the time, so I was not into cardio. You know, I'm a cardio man, right? But I don't power lift anymore. I shred it up. I stopped, you know, lifting heavy weights, and I changed my lifestyle. But I wish I was more cardio-wise doing the show. saying that, you know, it's not always about how fast you are, you know.
Right.
It's about how
right.
you use your time and your mind and everything else. So
exactly.
There has been plenty of times when we got into Singapore at the end of that leg of that race, I was so tired standing there waiting to do our interview. I was literally, and I couldn't just, I didn't even want to go eat. I just wanted to go to bed, you know?
Right.
So your opinion? I'm just curious. So,
well, I'll tell you what, being present in mind really helps you with this race. You know,
yeah.
And when you get out there, I mean, the difference is that it's a lot. It's not easier, but it is definitely a different thing that's got to go on when you're in the race. At that time, the producers and everyone were still learning. You know, I mean, they were still learning, and the world was still learning. So you didn't have as many spoilers out there. So there
right.
were things that were going on, like okay, like in my episode. In season 7, we were still begging on the street when we ran
yep.
out of money.
Yes, I remember that.
Pretty much
yeah.
stopped by season 10. So you really didn't have certain elements of, like, completely being out on your own.
Right.
You know, that I think that was an element that I hate was missed, but it sort of, the teams get smarter, so the production has to get smarter, you know?
Yes.
The race now is somewhere around 15 days.
Yes.
The actual race is, well, ours was 29. So there was, you know, there things like that or changed the dynamic of like how long. I lost 18 pounds on my race, and I just talked to
I lost 15. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
and people are losing less and less weight as they go. Because they're not in many strenuous situations. However, the tasks
right.
never seem to fall off. You know, they're still quite interesting. And, you know, like an episode I just watched. Now, I watch the race differently now as well.
Yep.
I have to watch two or three episodes at a time and sort of catch up.
Yeah.
Because if I watch them each week, I go through a major stress situation. And I'm pacing the room. I'm watching. I know what's happening, like behind the
yes.
scenes. So I'm like, oh no, oh you shouldn't have said that. As soon as
yeah.
you say that, you just jinxed yourself. You just jinxed
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things like that. So this new season, I'm getting into, checking out the teams. I'm coming up with my sort of faves, but I'm finding myself being the oracle. Saying, okay, this is what's going to happen to these guys because he just said
yeah.
that, you know, and that type of thing. So,
yeah.
Now what are we on? We're on episode. We just finished episode what?
Two.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm watching leg two. I mean, as soon as they were leaving the mat to start that leg, I knew who was pretty much was going out, and I knew. Who had the target on their back, and I knew who had the karma target on their back. And just by what they said is they were going out. And it's crazy.
Right.
And it worked out almost exactly to the letter. Because the Amazing Race, you remember this, if you did something screwy to somebody, within 24 hours, something screwy happened to you. Or,
oh, yeah, yeah.
The karma cycle is
yes.
really, really fast. It's really, really fast. So, I mean,
Mike and I were, like, again, really big into karma. Like, we didn't want, like, we were careful how we talked and what we did to be. I mean, though we did U-turn Joe and Heidi, it was Joe's undoing that caused us to do it to him. So, I mean, it wasn't bad karma on us. It was what he said about us that led us to do what we did to him. So, but we were big into that, the whole karma thing, too, and visiting other countries. We always respected
right.
people in other countries. And where you see teams of people that don't respect people in other countries, you're a visitor there. You know, you got to remember
right.
that. You know, and it's just like,
right.
and that's not good karma. And I'm so with
right.
you on that. So with you on that. So I'm sorry
you
to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No interruption. I mean, you get distracted from the real mission and
yeah.
the real purpose of the race. a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of racers, and they there's so many different takeaways that each person has, and none's know any really better than any other. However, it's interesting to see what people like sort of key on the things that they find is really interesting to them, you know, or
yeah.
even purposeful when they go on the race. So
right.
it's hard not to be judgmental about other cultures, but there's certain things you say with your inside voice, and there's certain things you say with the outside voice, you know, and that's kind of how reality TV is, you know. It's like
yeah, yeah.
the thing about the race is that you're hungry, you're tired, you're
yep.
lost,
yep.
you can't
yep.
communicate really with most of the people that you run into, and
exactly.
you're competing.
Yep.
So you have all these elements working against you, and then you have to have presence of mind to move forward. And so you're going to have people say, you know, bonehead things and do bonehead things, and that's what makes the race so interesting.
I'm loving right now how they're building this hatred towards Justin with Josh and Tana. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, It's TV, you know. It's great TV,
and it's human nature. You know, it's funny
yep.
because you know people don't understand pressure when you really have somebody like really on your back in a competitive scenario, and you don't know what they're going to do once it gets hot, you know. And you know, I just love watching it unfold, and now I'm rehooked now for the season, so. Watching it unfold and is going to be very, very interesting.
Look,
I
remember one of the assistant directors, and I'm not going to say his name, saying, I said to him, I go, look, in the beginning, I'm like, you can make us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he's like, no. He goes, we don't make you look like an asshole. If you're an asshole, he says, you're going to come off as an asshole. There's no like claim with the film to make you look like an asshole. We don't do that, you know. And
right,
I learned that.
Right.
I did learn that. You know, if you're arrogant, you're an arrogant person. You're an asshole. You're an asshole. And it is what it is. You know. And I did learn. I believe that. I mean, just from you know doing the show and being on my season, you know, you learn to see who was and who wasn't. And then when you actually watched it, you're like, oh yeah, you know. I agree.
I think there's a couple of different elements that play in there. Yes, if you're a jerk or an a-hole, it's gonna come out, especially if you don't hide it. But if you are, whoever you are, definitely once the pressure goes on, it's gonna come to the surface. Whether you whether you like it or not.
Right.
Now there is an element of okay, like for instance, at the end of our race, they had over 8,000 hours of video on everybody,
yep.
all the teams. To pare that down into, 13 weeks?
It's crazy.
Right? So
yeah, it's amazing, yeah.
In all that video, there are going to be moments when you're being a jerk, when you're being a good person, you're going to do good things, you're going to do bad things. Once you've set the pattern in
yep.
terms of who you're going to be in that first leg, well, that's where they're going to draw from of those things to corroborate who you start off being. So
yep.
from my perspective,
True.
If yes, you give them that, but then the entire rest of the race, they have hours and hours and hours to find more corroboration, more testimony to who it is that you've made yourself to be at one point or another. So
right.
the times when Rob was a good guy was probably left on the cutting room floor more than mine or
right.
anybody else. But then the times
right.
when, you know, so I think it's a little bit of both, but they can't make you do anything because video and audio
no.
is video and audio. So they can't.
Exactly.
You can't say the Lord's Prayer and then have them make it be something else. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yep.
he's right in that.
Yep.
I
know
you're
listen.
Not.
God, it's already 7:30, which is awesome. But I mean, because
wow.
I love the way me and you are communicating back and forth. You're awesome. You're a great guy. But let's start talking about this week's episode. So that's okay. That way we have time for what you want to talk about. I know now my co-hosts here, Sherry and Paul, who are actually the backbone of this whole operation, because without them, I would be nobody. Did you guys have any quick questions for Uchenna before we move on, or do you guys want? I mean, so we're sorry.
I'm just enjoying listening to the two of you.
So, do you have any questions for him before we move on, or do you want to just save it for later? Or
no, we'll just save it for later and go ahead and recap the episode.
Is Paul crying over there? Did something happen to one of his teams? I haven't heard from him. Paul, you okay? I care about you, Paul. You know that, right?
Does that answer your question?
All right. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
No, I am sad. I guess I was somewhat prepared with all the Minnesota teams losing. But it was a good game. We tied it up late. Denver went ahead by 3. We were on our final drive with a timeout left, hoping to get into field goal range. We're about midfield. And on third down, I think it was third down, the rush was on, and our quarterback got hit, bumped the ball, game over.
So sorry.
Anyway,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, not sorry.
Recap time.
All right, brother. All right. Chad, please feel free to jump in at any time.
Absolutely.
You know, all right. This is the Amazing Race, Season 27. This is Leg 2. They had titled this leg, Get In There, Think Like a Dog. So let's go. They're in Rio de Janeiro. And Tanner and Josh, they have the express pass, and they're leaving first, and they're heading to Buenos Aires, Argentina, which is the birthplace of Pope Francis, where they have to search for a church where he was baptized.
Right.
I found it interesting. One of the teams actually looked up his real name, and then Googled where the church where he's baptized. How they found out that it was
that smart.
That was very smart.
That guy, James, is a smart guy. You know,
yeah,
if he can keep the wheels on it, he'll do well in this race.
I agree. That was brilliant.
The other teams already are picking up on that. If you notice.
Yep.
I just will say this: when Tanner and Josh stepped off the mat, they jinxed themselves on that leg, because the first thing he said was, "We tasted first, and we're not going back." Automatic jinx.
Danny cares, then we'll talk about it after. all right. So they have to find the church, which is the Basilica of Mary Help. All the teams end up leaving at the same time, same flight. So there was no confusion there. Separate flights. Everybody was there at the same time. And Justin and Diana get there first. The church opened at 7:30, and they had to take a number. So they all went in. All right. So it was a detour at that point. So it was people of cardboard or recycle efforts, which is the Cartoneros, and they had to collect 100 kilograms of cardboard for their next clue or the valuable statue, which was the Botero. They had to transport to a truck, and one sat in the back, the other one sat in the front, giving directions to properly, and then they had to bring it to this location and then properly display it for their next clue. So only one team did the Botero, which was Kelsey and Joey. Mm-hmm. And everybody else did the recycle. And that was... it was pretty much going box to box out there and collecting cardboard.
People go straight for the physical thing. When they don't quite understand it immediately when they read the clue, they just jump to the, you know, it's interesting because I thought the statue thing was the easiest.
I agree. It wasn't that hard. I mean, it wasn't like when they put it in the back of the truck. I love how there was a box back there and how he was telling her, we'll put the head in here, we'll put the torso in there, and just hold on to the other pieces. And when Kelsey went and got directions, and they didn't seem like they had a single thing wrong. Nothing went wrong with them with that particular one. They just didn't finish first when completing that, but they did it. So, all right. So Justin and Diana actually finished that doing the recycle first, and then it was a route info. And so now they had to make their way to Bartolome and Mitre. And once they got there, it was a roadblock. And it was called the Tilted Tango. They had to learn a series of steps and then be rigged up to dance on the wall for their next clue. So that looked pretty difficult. But in all, and as we go through this, only one team had to do it four times, where everybody else, most teams did it in their first try, if not the second. So
I have a question to you guys. I don't know who it was, which team. It's so early on, I don't know everybody. I don't get stressed out about anybody. I mean, it's just, it doesn't really matter yet. Anyway, somebody left that dance thing as another team was arriving, and they basically blurted out what the competition was. Is that legal to do?
You did.
I don't think there's anything illegal about it. I don't think so.
I think it's dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, why give in, you know, why give someone
why
an edge like that?
It's probably why we've never seen that happen before, because it was like they basically, you know, told them, you know, you guys decide, you know, help the team out by letting them know it was a dance competition. And I had never heard that before, and maybe it's just because it's so early on they didn't care, but. Anyway,
Let me throw this perspective at you. If you give someone information when it doesn't matter, but it still seems like you're giving them information, you're like making a little. You're making a little. If it's a truce you need, if you're just making a little trust gesture, you know, and it might have been a strategic move that person did to get some trust from that person down the road. Didn't matter either way.
Right.
They told them that, but I think it may have been a strategic move to get some favor down the road if they need it.
I agree with you, Jenna, because I believe in the beginning of the race you do need some alliances. You really I believe that, you know, because I mean everybody's out to get everybody in the end. You're on your own, but in the beginning it's nice to have an alliance. You know, I mean, there were several of us from the East Coast in my season, so we kind of like stuck together in the beginning, you know, until we found out who the crybabies were, and then we were like, all right, no, enough of that. So, but there was Jasmine and Danielle. They were having a problem finding a cot when they were doing the recycle, and I think it was Tanner and Josh said, we just finished our cots down there, go get it, you know. That's good karma, in a way. I mean, they were already ahead. They already finished it. So that doesn't hurt them. These two women were last, in a sense, and they just told them where the cot was. I didn't think anything wrong with that. Anybody's opinion? No?
I certainly agree. I think, it's the right thing to do. I mean, they weren't using it anymore.
Right. So... Anyway, all right, so they made their way to Bartolome today, and the roadblock is Tilted Tango, where they had to learn a series of steps to be rigged up to the wall and dance on a wall for their next clue. as far as like Tanner, I mean, Diana did it, and Tanner did it, Logan did it, James Earl did it, Cindy did it, Kelsey did it, Krista did it, Jen did it, Adam did it, Tasman did it. So, I mean, the only one that really had major, major problems with it was Tanner, and it took him four times, but he still finished. I mean, he still was able to complete it. So, what do you call it? Where am I? My notes here. I'm sorry. Logan did it in two attempts, and he, Diana did it in two attempts. Cindy did it in two attempts. James Earl did it in one attempt. He's a dancer. You would think, you know, people who dance. Krista did it in her first attempt. Kelsey did it in her first attempt. Jinx did it in his first attempt. Alex did it in his second attempt. Jasmine did it in her first attempt. So it really, if you really think about it, it wasn't really that hard of a challenge, I'm saying, you know.
Right.
I mean, now, if you know, I don't know. Mike, who I did it, you know, with, he was 6'5". Say he had to do this. You know, it's like, it's kind of, you know, it's awkward. And I forget who it was. I don't know if it was one of the girls was saying something about if you don't have good core strength, it's going to be difficult to do. And that's why I think Adam had a lot of problems. Alex had a lot of problems doing it. But he did do it in his second attempt. Not for nothing. I mean, so...
Yeah, and I think sometimes the judges are a little more lenient with different people.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't like a cut and dry, you know, you got it. Well, some of them there are. But I just think that they were a little more lenient on him getting it through. But it's still, I thought that was a very cool roadblock.
Yeah, it was cool. No, it definitely was cool. It was different. Very cool, yeah. You would love to have that, you know, as a film type thing. It's very cool.
Exactly.
Just a side note again, I mean, it's in my notes. Justin is just not making any friends, specifically with Josh and Tiana. He is just pissing people off. I mean, he's a little arrogant, but I see them as a pretty strong team right now.
Yeah, so do they.
Yeah.
I think
they build up too much karma.
But I think there's, yeah, you're right. But I think there's an attitude issue with Justin that, I mean, he plays hard.
Yep.
But I think he wears his emotion on his sleeve at the same time, even though he acts
right.
Pretty cocky. Right under the surface there, the right person saying the right thing to him will have him, like, buckling under the pressure.
Yeah,
that's my take on it. But
I agree.
He's riding high, and we'll see as this episode sort of unfolds where he's going to have his moments. So, go ahead.
All right, look. Mm-hmm. All right, let me wrap this up real quick here. So when they finished up with the dancing on the wall, the next clue is it was the pit stop. And they had to go to the Polo Stadium, and it's the Cathedral of Polo out there. So the first ones to get to the mat, Justin and Diana. They made it, and they won a trip for two to from Travelocity to, I'm going to really mess this up, El Gadida, Morocco. Congratulations, Justin and Diana. Well-deserved, working hard, playing hard. It was a three-way rush, a race to the mat, and Josh and Tanner just kicked it in and sprinted, and Tanner pulled his hamstring, and he looks like he's in some pain. So I hope it's not a serious tear, but and something that can be iced up with and a little bit of ibuprofen, and he'll be right back in action. So that's going to be interesting to see on the next leg, but they still are one of my top. Josh and Tanner are two of my top ones right now as far as strong teams. Denise and James Earl, they're playing well. I mean, we do see next week there's a little bit of arguing going on between mom and son. We'll see where that goes.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish your recap.
All right, so Logan and Chris, I think they're sleepers, and they're another strong team. They came in fourth. Cindy and Rick came in fifth. Tiffany and Krista. And let me just give a shout-out to Krista. She actually listened to the show last week. And anybody who's on The Amazing Race this season that is listening, God bless all of you. And you can call in. We don't have to talk about the show. I know you can't talk about the show, but you can call in and say hi and tell us how you're doing. All right? So that's not against rules. So we will not talk to you about the show if that's, you know, if you do call in. So, but Krista, thank you for listening, honey. Please appreciate it. Kelsey and Joey came in seventh. Jasmine and Danielle came in eighth. Ernest and Jen came in ninth. And Alex and Adam came in 10th and were eliminated. So, sorry to see you go, Alex and Adam. Well played. Take care and Mike. Good luck. So, that was this
really well, too.
They did take it well. They did. They did.
They took it really well. I got to say this, and I love those guys to death. I really wanted them to do better. But as they began the link, what did they say?
What was the statement? I don't recall.
Like, the statement was like something like, we're kind of hoping that we can get everyone to believe that we can win this, and we can win this thing.
And there was no confidence there.
And it's something that you have to, if you don't have that belief within, nothing's to say you're going to win, but somehow I felt a feeling of like their confidence was shaky to begin with.
Yep.
And you know, I guess I call that the life lesson, sort of like, okay, yeah, you can rah-rah believe you can win, and that's what I'm insinuating, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know that they had that belief inside all the way. They weren't sure.
Right.
You know, and that's what I saw when they first came off the mat. That was one of the first things they said when they were, you know, and they were smart enough.
Interesting.
They were strong enough. They were fast enough.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of your mental will take, what you speak sort of comes out in this thing, right. You know.
You definitely have to have a mental game. You definitely need a mental game. Absolutely. Hey, so Jenna, let's do this. Let's talk about you, and let me start by saying thank you so much for being with me today. I love you. You can call in anytime. I'd be more than happy to have you on with me. Your whole project you're working on is helping people get onto reality shows, teaching them how to get on reality shows, and what I'm asked that question a lot, Louis, what should I do? And actually, Derek Lavassa, who won Big Brother, is a friend of mine. And he came to me while making his Big Brother videotape. And he came to me and he's like, Louis, what should I do? I said, Derek, just be yourself. Don't be somebody you're not, because they just see through that shit. They see through it. They want real people. And he got on and he ended up winning the Big Brother. So, I mean, I don't take any credit for that. I'm just telling you, it's not rocket science. It's like they want you to just be yourself. They don't want you to be somebody you're not. You know, and so a lot of people make these videotapes and you look at them online and they're just, you could tell they're not. That's not real. You know,
that's not who they are. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, it's almost just like interviewing for a job. That first couple of seconds, I mean, you figure the PA who has to, when I say PA, production assistant, who has to look at the first round of videos that come through, they are not, they only got a few seconds to kind of decide on, it's the puzzle. And, you know, you hear that all the time. It's the puzzle, you know, that you put together. And basically, this is what I got going on. I have been asked that question so many times.
Yep.
And, you know, how do I do it? What do you do? So on and so forth. And frankly, you know, it isn't rocket science. However, there is a method to the madness. And my goal is to take some of that mystery out of it, because 90% of the people who fill out an application get stuck somewhere, whether it's Amazing Race or Big Brother or Survivor, or they, when they're putting together their video, they get stuck on what is it, what, you know, you get caught up with what do the people want to see? What do I need to do? How can I catch their eye? And all those things. And then those that are really blessed to get to the next level and go to the interviewing process, you know, how do I, you know, what am I doing? It's just there's so few things. If you can take the mystery out of it, then they can go in with some purpose. And, you know, I always tell people, my experience on Amazing Race is one that I would wish on everyone who could possibly get on, because
yep.
it is a experience of a lifetime. And I can imagine, I've never been on Big Brother. I know a lot of Big Brothers, and I've never been on Survivor. Well, I was a finalist to be on Survivor Africa 4 years before I went in Amazing Race. I was inoculated to go on the show. So
yep.
The process of the interview and all that stuff doesn't have to be a mystery, and it doesn't guarantee you get on, but it is nice to have some coaching. And I decided to put together a coaching webinar for that specific thing. And it actually
yep.
it's a series that goes further than the first thing, but the webinar is to give me an idea of the folks around the country that are interested in moving forward in that process, and then having a little bit of guidance as they fill out their application and doing those things, and some do's and don'ts. So what I've put together in the interim is a reality show coaching program. And it's called, you can actually, what I'm going to do is have you come to my website and fill out the, you know, the contact form, where I can sort of gather up how many people would be interested in some of the things that you're interested in. So there's a space for questions on the contact form, and I will answer those questions on the webinar, and we will go through that process of really doing it right, or doing, I'll just put it this way, I'll coach you on the things you can control, because there's a lot you
yep.
can't control, right? So
yep.
if they go to www.u is an umbrella, e is an Edward, a grp.com/reality. They can fill out the form, and I'll also just for filling out the form, I will send forward a my little, I guess, dossier or my little paper I did on the five things that not to do when competing on the Amazing Race. Kind of funny, and
yep.
And I'm putting that out there. So they just go to UEA group, as in GRP, UEAGRP.com/reality, and fill out the form, the contact form, and then they'll be getting an invitation to the webinar, which should be toward the end of this month. And they'll also get my little paper on five things to do when competing, or not to do. And we're competing on the Amazing Race.
Well, you know, Cheddar, that's awesome, and I wish you all the luck in the world. I mean, there are so many people out there that just don't know what to do, or how to do it, or how to go about doing it. You know, like you, I get asked constantly, you know,
yes,
you know what to do, and I just give them from my heart what to do. I tell them it's not rocket science, but this. It goes to the next level, and I love it, and I wish you luck. Like you,
well,
I didn't get as far like you, but I didn't get as far as you. It was the fan favorite season of Survivor that I applied for, and they loved me. And I had Lynn Spillman calling me and asking me for more pitches and another video and stuff. And I didn't have my passport at the time, and I don't know if that's the reason why I didn't get picked. I never got told why I didn't get picked, but she goes, look, Louis, we're sorry, but we're upset. We'll keep you in mind. Because I'm like a cop. I'm a cop. I can have it. And I had my passport within 2 weeks. Anyways.
Well, don't beat yourself up because.
No, I didn't beat myself up because a year and a half later, I got an email casting for the Amazing Race. And
right. That's
history. So, I mean, that was history. I mean, I'm so glad because I've talked to numerous people. I'm friends with numerous people from Survivor, Russell, you know, Earl Cole, they're really good, Ryan Oprah. They're really, really good friends of mine. And they all wish they've done The Amazing Race, not Survivor. Because, I mean, Survivor is a whole different ball of, you know what? I'm glad I was on The Amazing Race. I'm so blessed, you know. So
same here.
Yeah.
And you know, again, 4 years before the Amazing Race even really came out, I was a finalist to be on Survivor Africa. I was inoculated, 21 shots. I thought I was going. And the last week before going, they called and go, nah, we think we're going in a different direction. Well, I'd already taken a severance package for my job. I was pissed, and I was thinking, you know, I'm never doing with this stuff again. But then, you know, of course, Amazing Race comes around, and we applied two times, got all the way to network, and still was rejected. And then 3 months later, I got the call that you got. You know, hey.
Right.
So folks, you know, there are a lot of good people who get stuck in the process of filling out the application that would be awesome on these shows.
Yep.
And my whole goal is to take some of the mystery out and help them get down the road so they can have that experience of a lifetime. So once again, they can go to UEAGRP.com/reality, and they'll be able to go on to the contact form, do the contact form, and once they do that, I'll be emailing out the a little booklet on the 5 things not to do when competing on the Amazing Race, and then they'll also get an invitation to the upcoming webinar. And
could you repeat that address again,
some more
please?
People yes, it's the letters U E A. G as in George, RP.com/reality. Now, there is a site that's is under construction, which it'll be a different, it has a different URL, I'll email that to you because it'll be up in a few days. But everyone who fills out this will get the free paper and the invitation to the webinar. Yes, there will be a cost to the webinar, but it'll be minimal.
Right.
We're excited about it. We're really excited. I mean, we've got a lot of great feedback around here in Houston. There's already 40 or 50 people who want to be on it already. And they're waiting for me to reveal the
that's awesome.
Reveal it. So I'm excited. I mean, you know, if I can help one or two people get on. I mean, I've coached a couple of people. It's been really, really fun. And right before they've gone on to different shows, I won't say what they were, they actually became really good villains and really good heroes because of it. So
that's awesome.
So thanks so much for having me, guys.
No, please come back on again. And you got to please, I'll either find you or you find me on Facebook. But please, if we're not already friends, but please post that on my wall. I'd be more than happy to help support you. And please.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So,
I will.
Yeah.
I surely will. And if there's anything else I can do for you or your fans, just let me know, man. Just call me at any time. And, Cherry, you are the best. I'm so glad we got to build a relationship. And let's help some new people get on some shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Very cool. Very cool.
I've enjoyed it so much. I think it's going to be a blast. I'd love to come to the webinar myself, actually, and see, you know, what it's about. And I'm not the kind of person that could ever do a reality show, but I'd just love having the knowledge, and I love listening to you talk, and I'd love to just come in and be part of, you know, a group and listen to the webinar. So I plan on attending.
Okay, well, in the contact form, just fill it out anyway, and then put in maybe the questions that you would want to answer during the webinar, because I'm really designing a lot of the questions some of the curriculum based on what people are really asking, what they think they need, where they think they need help. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. So you're definitely invited, okay?
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Awesome. China, man,
you're
a pleasure, brother.
China.
You're a pleasure. I love you. God bless you in in your endeavors, and please feel free to come on anytime. So
thank you much, Louie. You're the best, man.
Thank you. Cherry, Paul, what an amazing hour we had. It was so much fun. It went by so fast. That's another leg and episode of the Rad Reality Show, and we had an amazing time. With a channel I go, thank you so much again, brother. love you guys, and you know, let's do this again next week.
Sounds like a plan. Okay.
See y'all soon.
All right. Well,
take care.
Thank you so much. I do want to remind everybody that tomorrow we have a big show coming up with Michelle Costa on the Manic Monday show. We have John McGuire, or also known as Johnny Mac from Big Brother 17, is going to be with us on the Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa from Big Brother Season 10. That's going to be a big one for Michelle. And then next week, I think we may have Meg, but make sure you're there tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa and Johnny Mac. And then we'll be back again on Thursday for the Survivor Recap Show with Big Mike on Mike and the Mike Show. That's also at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And then back here again next Sunday for the, for Luis Cervato hosting the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show. And I can't wait to do it all over again. So,
nice.
Guys, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. It's been a
You're
blast.
Welcome.
I've been really enjoyed listening to you guys talk about being on The Amazing Race and how, you know, it was on your seasons as opposed to what it is like on the current season. And I think it's a little bit different. You know, I think sometimes the challenges aren't quite as hard today as they were back in your seasons. The race is still an amazing race. So
I know we're running out of time, but what I didn't realize, like my season was 33 days. You said yours was 29. I didn't know they shortened up now. They really condensed them big time. I didn't know that. So
yeah, they've condensed them a lot.
I guess money comes into play here. So I mean,
I think they've streamlined a lot of it too. I think they pretty much know what countries they can go to and get things done quickly. And there's we went to Argentina back in the mine, but we did completely different things. So I don't know. I think as time progresses, it gets maybe easier to produce, and they know what they're looking for as it go. So they have less B-roll to shoot. There's all kinds of stuff on the production side that I believe plays a role in how long the race is. You guys went to some pretty far away places too. So
We did
have a fan question from our chat room.
What is it?
Before you guys go. Was last week the first time that a fast forward was used on the first week?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever seen a fast forward on the first show ever. I don't recall, at least. That's a good question. We're gonna have to research that.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Whoever asked. We'll have to research that. We'll get back to you on
that one. That's a good question.
That is a good question. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Yeah, as you talk about it, I did find it weird seeing it on the first one. So, yeah, it's kind of strange. Now you think about it.
nice
anyways, it was a pleasure. I love you guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you so much, Louie. Thank you, Channel, so much. Everybody,
love
have a great
Goodbye.
Night. Take care. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, all.
And good night. What a great show with Louie and Michenna. Two great, amazing racers. Again, I'll go through the shows real quick. Tomorrow night, Manic Monday with Michelle Costa and Johnny Mac. And then we'll be back here again on Thursday with Big Mike on the mic for the Survivor Recap. And back here again on Sunday for the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show. And now all of our shows are at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So that's our lineup for the week. I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of their Sunday evening. We're going to close out the show with Ron, as we always do. It was a great show listening to those guys talk about their seasons and the latest episode of the Amazing Race Season 27. So here's Ron to take us out. Good night, everybody. Thanks for being on our chat room and listening to the podcast later, too. Here's Ron.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one with two greats from the Amazing Race. Paul, say good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody.